Good afternoon. I want to talk about meditation some, and there was a beautiful silence there. But there also, I can tell, especially in a group, that sometimes we fade in and out of meditation. And what really is the purpose of meditation, and what is the other thing that came to me to talk about was time and space. So what time is relevant to meditation? How long do we meditate? What is the nature of time in a meditation? And when do we stop? And when do we continue on? So first of all, as we had mentioned earlier in the class, the purpose of meditation is to bring our mind into a state of spiritual awareness. So a blank mind, a mind that has been just stilled through willpower, is not a receptive instrument for the spirit. You can blank your mind out. You can make your mind absolutely dead, but it won't give you any access to that spiritual nature. And that access to the soul, to spirit, always comes with fruitage. The meditation is like planting a seed. You know, when you plant a seed, you prepare the soil. If the soil needs nutrients, you put the nutrients in the soil, and then you plant the seed. And once the seed has been planted, then you let the divine consciousness, you let life bring forth the growth and the productivity of that which is planted. You can't go and make that seed grow. That seed grows because it's part of consciousness, and consciousness is always expressing itself, and consciousness is always active. There's an activity there. So when, if you've been practicing a lot, meditating, and you've been studying the spiritual principles, you probably do not have to spend much time devoted to preparing the soil, so to speak, contemplating the spiritual principles, the spiritual nature of life, because you already have done that. You've done that over years and years of practice. If you have not practiced meditation regularly for a long time, you need to prepare that soil. You have to have the mind in not just a state of blankness, but a mind that is attuned to your soul, attuned to this spiritual nature. We attune our mind to be sensitive, to be aware, to be able to pick up the impulses of truth by contemplating spiritual principles. When you contemplate a spiritual principle, it's not rote, it's not memorizing anything, it's not affirming, it's not repeating something that you've heard before. It might start with some inspirational verse, might start with something from the Bible or any other spiritual oriented idea or thought that takes you out of the limitations of material concept. So it doesn't necessarily have to be biblical. It can be something that is expansive. Some of my best meditations have been in concerts, because you're totally attuned to what's going on. You're listening to the music, something comes on, the band plays something that you really like, and suddenly you're no longer in that human sense of existence. You're in another dimension. Now, that other dimension that we access, that we move into, is just if we continue with the analogy of the plant and the soil, it's the plant coming into fruition. It's not Now, to make that plant beneficial, to make that plant useful, it has to be harvested. If it's a flower, it needs to be cut and put in a vase. Now, some people don't like to cut flowers. I remember a little aside when we were studying about Lilio Kalani, her mother-in-law hated to cut any flowers in the garden. And when Lilio Kalani would cut roses and bring them into the house, her mother-in-law would get very angry. And Lilio Kalani would say, but, you know, if they're not cut and they're not brought in and the beauty is not experienced, they're just going to wither out there on the plants. So we have to go out and harvest this seed that we have sown. We have to bring the beauty into our environment. We have to bring the nutrition, the nourishment into our environment. Whatever it is that is growing comes into our environment, and it comes into our environment through our act of harvest. This act of harvest, meditatively speaking, to go into what goes on in the meditation, that act of harvest is realization. It is recognizing this presence, and it is realizing that this presence is upon us. When we are experiencing that, we are totally under spiritual law. And any material sense of life shifts in our perception so that we are able to discern that which is beneficial, and we can just forget and dismiss that which is not. So, when you sit down to meditate, if you have a sense, if you're drawn into a meditation, if there's something within you that says, let's be quiet to yourself, this voice in your head, then you have been, you're given instruction. That is basically an order. Sit down and be quiet and open yourself, because there is an activity going in consciousness and you want to partake in that. When you sit down in that way, your mind will still very quickly. And when the mind is still and you are there listening, because meditation is not a, and it's a very attentive state of being. If you find in your meditation that you're falling asleep, open your eyes and do something else. Wake yourself up, because you're never going to really be conscious of the spiritual dimension if you're falling asleep. And lots of times when you're beginning meditating, especially if you're in a stressful type of situation, when you sit down and relax and let all the thoughts go out of your mind, you get relaxed, you do fall asleep. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no judgment on that. But you're not going to benefit from the activity of meditation if you constantly get into a relaxed state and fall asleep. So if that happens, fine. If you're tired, take a nap. But if you really are drawn into a meditation, you probably, there'll be some kind of stimulation going on. Not a mental stimulation, not a physical stimulation, but something that's stimulating you spiritually. And it comes then into your awareness. And it will come with a sense. Usually it's a sense of peace. There's a very deep silence that we experience in a meditation. Sometimes the meditations are just that. It's just a connection with this deep silence, this deep sense of beingness. I. Who am I? What am I? I am in this life to be the manifestation of spirit, to be the instrument through which spirit can function. Sometimes these kind of contemplations come to you as you sit down and be quiet. And you could ask yourself questions. And when you ask yourself questions in this prepared consciousness, you're going to be receiving something that isn't from this collective universal sense of mind. It's going to be from the oneness of spirit. Might not come with any words or thoughts. But there's a quickening, to use an old biblical term. What does that mean? It means there's a light, an awareness, a realization. As you practice this, you become sensitive to this state of consciousness. You lose all desire. There's nothing you want. There's nothing you need. There's no past or future. You find you are totally present in the now. And as long as you're feeling this sense of peace, that you're aware, you know that you're listening, you're alert, you're attentive, you can rest in that. Perhaps you become more aware of your body. So what is your attitude toward that? If you're aware of your body comes to mind. You can apply what you know spiritually about body. The function of the body is in consciousness. All that's necessary to maintain and sustain a body, your body, my body, is in consciousness. I do not have to take mental thought. The mind can do nothing to the body unless the mind is going to act as some kind of an agent. And we're wanting to be, let the mind be the avenue of spiritual awareness, not a force. There is no will in meditation, because my will is thy will. The only desire is to experience this spiritual presence. There is no hope. There is no wishing. There is no fantasizing or visualization, because all that puts us back up into the mind and into time. Meditation is in the now. Meditations can be any length. There is no set time. Kind of by tradition, we always have 15 minutes of meditation before we start a class or before we listen to a tape, but that's arbitrary. You come 15 minutes before, or maybe even a half an hour before, and if you sit quietly, maybe some of that time is in contemplation, some of that time is just being, and then there's a moment where meditation happens. Because meditation really is something that you open yourself to. It's not something that you do mentally, because you're making this mind into a transparency. You're letting thoughts move out, in and out, without any judgment. You're not attaching yourself to anything that's coming into your mind. Now, if you sit down and you have a moment even of this nowness, of this spiritual connectedness, unity, you might then find your mind flooded with ideas. Don't try and get rid of those. That can be the fruitage of what's going on. Especially if you're impelled or you have that inner sense to sit down and be quiet, to meditate, and you do that, and you're obeying this inner impulse to do it, you're going to be fed. And if there is a problem that is in your consciousness, in your experience, and you are impelled to sit down and meditate and experience that moment of silence, that moment of silence might be just an instant, and then there's all kinds of ideas about what to do. And you look at those, because you are this I that is living through this body and through this mind. You are not in the mind and you are not in the body. You are living through this, these instruments. So if you look at those kind of ideas, those kind of impartations that come, are coming from this infinite consciousness. They could be the solutions to a problem. They could be the genesis of a new project, a new idea, a new product, a new way of dealing with family. So don't think that meditation has to be devoid of any kind of idea. What it is devoid of is this conveyor belt of human thought. Human thought is based on, is always connected either to the past or the future. There is no thought that takes place in the now. You see that? If a thought comes to you, that thought, if it's about person, place, thing, or condition, it's either about the past or the future, and you can just let those go because they have no relevance to what's going on now. What comes into you in those moments of silence, those ideas, and it might come as a thought, but that information, that sense, that guidance, I don't know, I mean, there's many ways to describe it, but it comes, it's a creative thing. When, and I'm sure that this is true for most artists, when there is a problem with a work of art, you can keep beating out around the problem, but if you stop and you sit back and look and be attentive, the solution to the problem comes and you see how it can be resolved. That's the way we can deal with every aspect of this human experience. So, to be clear, once we have reached that moment of realization, what comes through is coming through infinite consciousness. And if it's coming through infinite consciousness, what comes with it is the fullness of that idea. Every aspect of that idea is fulfilled in that moment. Now, it might still require you to go out and do something physically. I mean, if the idea is coming to an artist, your mind isn't going to paint the picture. But the picture is already finished. The project, the complete idea is already done. And all you do physically is fulfill the manifestation of that idea in this world. Recently, I watched the movie Amadeus, and it was, I never quite caught this particular part of Mozart's genius, is that the music that came to him came completed. When, I mean, according to the story, now I don't know if this is fact or if this is fiction, but according to the story, the manuscripts that Amadeus had, there were no corrections in it. He was writing down what he heard, and when he wrote it down, it was finished. And they made a big point in the story to say that this is finished. There's nothing more to do to this. When it comes through finished, and Mozart's whole purpose, his whole action was to write down what he heard. And when he wrote it down, it was complete. Now that is the way every idea comes when it comes through consciousness. If the idea is, so maybe we're not at that quote genius of a Mozart. So a germ of an idea comes to us and we start to work on it, but it isn't satisfying. There's something not right with it. If we continue to work on it from that perspective of what we know about the structure of music or whatever, we're going to be putting in a, we're moving out of the spiritual experience into human labor. And we labor over it and we work on it, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I've experienced this with different paintings. I've had a great idea of a painting. I've had the painting laid out. Everything is working, and then I start to put in more detail and more work on the painting, and it just falls apart. Isn't good. I know it's not good. I mean, I could fool myself and say I put so much effort into this, but I know it's not there. The germ of the idea was there, but I was not patient enough or attuned enough to let that whole thing come through as an experience, as a completed sense, and where I was only doing the painting of it. Every aspect of our living has these same elements. And when the ideas come through consciousness, they come through with everything necessary to complete them. If we don't interfere with it too much, if we can stay out of the way. So if we find that when we meditate daily and or many times a day, if we have an agenda, if we're meditating because something is not completely fulfilled and we're going into meditation to have it fulfilled, we're going to be struggling. Because there is now a time and space element that we want something to be completed, when in reality, if we forget that human means of completion, those footsteps, and go back into that now moment, go back into that which generated the idea in the first place, and not want to project, not have any desire, we can find that the fulfillment comes in that silence, and then we discover how it manifests. There is a point where meditation becomes as natural to us as breathing. it becomes as natural to us as walking. We don't think about walking. We don't think about putting one foot in front of the other. We don't think about breathing unless we're in a yoga class and trying to change our breathing habits. But once we are doing the thing, it takes over and it completes itself. So as long as we allow that, as long as we don't interfere conceptually, we can let the unfoldment of meditation guide and direct our life. So, and it's not really just meditation. It's the unfoldment of spiritual consciousness. The meditation is just open the door. If anything, that's just reaching out and opening the door, and then we let this other dimension of us fulfill that which we've opened the door to. Now, time. Joel has this wonderful example in this book, and I just this is in the chapter, Our Real Identity. Some of you may remember the story of the man in a rowboat on a stream. At the place and time he started his trip, it was here and now. But the place to which he was going was over there and later. In other words, it was in the future, and it was off in space. But when he got there, he found it was here and now. The place that had been here and now was then and there. And the place to which he was going was there later. Everything was turned around. But when he arrived at the last place, everything behind him was there and then, and all his here-ness and now-ness had gone, except that he was carried with it to where he was. As far as he was concerned, it was still here and now. Later, he had an opportunity to go up in a balloon. When he did, he found that these places are all here and now. He could see them, he could feel them, he could be aware of them, but from the heights as the very here-ness and now-ness. There was neither time nor space in those three. Study that. I mean, it sounds like it's a, like some kind of a puzzle, like some kind of a Zen cone. But if you understand that dynamic, you will not be affected by the material sense of time and space. We see that when we're flying. There's many times on a long trip, like flying to Australia or to Europe, where it's a long plane ride. You get into that mindset of being here and now. And where are you? You're right there. You're in a plane. You're in a seat. You have no real sensation of traveling at so many miles per hour because you're just here and now. And when you got on that plane, you got on that seat and it was here and now. When it was on the ground, when it took off, it's here and now. When you land after so many hours, you're still here and now. You're in that same seat. What has taken place? Have you really moved? Have you gone anywhere? Or have you always been here and now in that one spot? That one spot is consciousness. The omnipresence of consciousness is the here and now. God is all in all. God fills all space. We have that from scriptures. There is no place where we can be where we are outside of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. God is there. So what is this God that is always with us? It is our own individual awareness of our true identity, of our self, of this spiritual self. And we experience that when we are present. Now, we might be on that plane watching a movie or reading a book or having a dinner, but we're in, for all intents and purposes, we are not moving. We are in that experience and we are participating in what is going on. The fact that we are traveling around the world is not really part of that awareness that we have, because we are in this space in the now. And when we arrive to wherever it is that we were going, we are in that same now. When I was sailing into the South Pacific, at the opposite end of the stick, rather than going halfway around the world in a few hours, it took us a few weeks to go what would take, you know, only a few hours to do on an airplane. And what was stuck with me as far as the nature of time is that once you are outside of land, the water is all the same. The ocean is all the same. The boat hardly feels like it's moving. It's bouncing up and down and you can see a wake and the sails are full. But every time you look out, it's the same ocean. You look up at the sails, they're full. You're looking at exactly the same environment. And all that you notice is the sun moves across the sky. And you are so aware of this movement of the planets. And then the stars come up. And then the next day when the sun comes up, it seems like you're in the same spot. If you were not doing your navigation and taking your sextant out every day and making a little line on a piece of paper on a chart, you could be in this moment eternally. And it is changeless. The only change that takes place is this material concept of space, of moving from one place to the other. Now, if you project mentally in time and space, you are moving out of the atmosphere in which you experience the presence of God. So if you're experiencing the presence of God in this now moment, you have to realize that this now moment is wherever you are at every moment. And then you have then whatever environment is coming to you, it's almost as a movie screen coming to you. When things change in the outer picture, when that change comes, you realize, oh, I'm still here and now. I'm still in this presence of God. I'm still where I am. Now, what is this that is coming to me? Is this coming from God? Is this part of the now experience? Or is this something that appears to be coming to me from outside my own awareness? Perception is what keeps us aware of the spiritual dimension. And when we can see time and space as these products of concept, then they start losing their sense of power, their influence. That once you're on a boat and you're traveling on the level that we did, with very few people in a very small environment, that is our world. That's all that exists, is this ocean and the sky and the wind. And it's either light or it's dark. And the only thing that you do is perhaps move from one side of the boat to the other to stay in the shade. Now that's not a whole lot of action, but what's going on in that is the totality of individual consciousness. If something came out of the ocean to us, you have the perspective of looking and saying, oh, this is all in consciousness. Now, what is it that's coming to me? Is this something coming to me unexpectedly to frighten me? Is this an activity of my own projection of experience? Or is this part of the dynamics of life? If it's part of the dynamics of life, there's nothing to fear. It's always in the now. I'm always having this connection to the spirit. Therefore, the way I deal with that is not through reaction, not through the temptation to either run from it or to get rid of it, but it is in a sense that this is coming into my awareness now, and if it's coming into this context, this nowness is spiritual. So it's coming into spirit. And whatever is coming into spirit must bring with it or have with it all of the spiritual aspects of life. If it doesn't, if it's a concept, it's an illusion. It's a mirage. It comes and then it disappears. Now you can use kind of the same, I don't know if this is that clear, but I see how by being in the now that you are always in this spiritual consciousness, and everything that's coming into your life is coming into the light of truth, and you don't have to do anything to it because you are hid with Christ in God right now. You are in this consciousness. If you're traveling in a car in the desert, you're in that now moment, and you see a mirage in the desert, and you're in this now moment. If you react to that mirage and you go out and try and get rid of a mirage, you're going to completely move out of this now moment. You're going to move out into a reality that you think is hampering what you are doing, flooding the road. You're not being able to pass. So you let that mirage, you let that illusion influence and bring you out of that now moment and bring you into time and space, and you walk out there and say, how do we get rid of this water? And you walk and you keep walking toward that water, and the water keeps moving away from you. How can the water move away from you? Ah, that water doesn't exist. That water is a mirage. You see something in this world that's disturbing. You see ugliness, you see violence, you see inhumanity, cruelty. Oh, that's coming to you. If you're in the now moment, you realize that has no more power or influence to you than the mirage on the desert. There's no need to stop and deal with it. There's no need to go and try and correct it. There's no need to project your mind out into that problem and say, I've got to get rid of this. You stay in the now. You stay in the present. And this divine consciousness reveals to you that there's no spiritual component to that whatsoever. Everything that has value, everything that has reality, has a spiritual component to it. There's a spiritual essence. The good that we see in this world has a spiritual essence. Kindness, compassion, beauty. All of these things are what we perceive emanating from a spiritual truth. Now, someone comes to us with a disease, with a problem. What are we seeing? Now, here we're putting two elements together. The person comes to us with a problem. That individual is spiritual. Oh, from what we were saying earlier, my soul, that feeling of love, that connectedness, I see that individual and I see that soul. I see that Christ nature. I see that spiritual person, that spiritual identity. But they are bringing with them this problem, this disease. Is that disease part of that person? Does that disease have any truth in God? Is there any reality to that disease? Or is that disease being attached to that person because of belief and accepting a power outside of God? When we can differentiate and see, disease has nothing to do with that person. Disease does not exist spiritually. And I separate that. I see through that disease. I see through that person. And what do I see? Is I see the spirit. And that I only see in the now. I can't see that in my mind. I can't see that in the future or the past. I see that in the now. So I'm in that present moment when I see through an appearance. We practice being in that present moment by being aware of this, of the illusory nature of time and space. Time does not exist. It would not exist. I was talking with somebody, well, I actually had this fable that I wrote where there was no darkness. There were two suns. And so they switched from day to day. You know, it had no night. There was one sun was going down, the other sun was coming up. So they had no concept of time because there was no night. There was no way to measure. The only way they, well, I guess they could measure time by which sun was up in the sky. But if there was no sun, if we were not spinning around a sun, if we had a constant light, there would be no time. And if there was no time, we would be existing in this spiritual consciousness. Now that's the truth. Where is time? Time doesn't exist other than in the mechanics of the earth rotating around the sun. So if we got off this rotating planet and we were able to embrace the solar system, is there time in the solar system? Or is it in the now moment? And if it is in the now moment, then where is space? It's within consciousness. There is no space. All is within consciousness. Your consciousness is inseparable from infinite consciousness. You see that? If you think that, oh, my consciousness is relegated to this person and I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the awareness, I could never say that I am infinite consciousness, then you are denigrating yourself and speaking a lie. You maybe have not developed the capacity to fully experience infinite consciousness, but you are infinite consciousness. Therefore, if you are infinite consciousness, where is time and space? Where is birth and death? Where is decay? Where is this transition of life? Where is all that taking place? It only takes place in this conceptual world. Joel has that chapter, that great question. Concept or is? Now we balance this, but to be able to balance and live from isness and see the conceptual world, we have to be clear on the nature of time and space and realize that the only existence that we have is now. It's the only existence there is. And in the now moment is where we have the opportunity to dissolve concepts, all beliefs, all appearances. Thank you.